Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
What would you say your biggest challenge has been getting you to where you are currently?
Hope. People don't talk about how hard hope is. To live in that place where you're like, it's gonna happen tomorrow, it's gonna happen tomorrow, it's gonna happen tomorrow, is a very hard place for people because sometimes it lets you go, I quit. So I've been doing stand-up since 2009, but I've been acting since I was a kid. And I've been singing since I was a kid. And I have a theater degree, but y'all know me as a comic. So now all this work that I did, and I used to do musicals, I've done children's shows, I sang, I was in an improv group, I did all of these other things, but y'all know me as a comic and a correspondent on the show. So now all of these things I did since I was 7 years old, I have to now reintroduce everybody too. But if I had lost hope and didn't start, because I started doing stand-up because somebody told me I was a comic. It wasn't something that I chose to do. I just happened to be good at something, so someone saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And so that was the biggest challenge for me to go, okay, I have a theater degree. I've never been on stage and been myself and said my own words. So getting into stand-up was one of the hardest things for me because I'd never been myself on stage. I knew how to perform. I knew how to find my light. I knew how to plant my feet. I knew all of the trappings. I'd done on stage 900-seat theater with no microphone and sang to the back of a room. I can perform, but not as me. So that was the hardest part of the whole process, going, okay, I have to be Dulce. I haven't done that before. So that was the hardest part into that, and also listening to my mother. Because a comic told me in 2007 that I should do stand-up, and I didn't listen to him. But I started when I was supposed to. You see what I'm saying? So you get things when you're supposed to, which is always hard to hear. But in 2009, And once again, on unemployment, look at God. And I was taking a sketch comedy class and I got laid off from a job. And the comic Big Kenny is like, again, come take my stand-up class. And I was like, Unc, I don't have a job. I can't afford the $300 class. And he's like, you're supposed to do this. I won't charge you for the class. And then I couldn't decide what to do. And my mother told me, because Big Kenny had been inviting us to shows for 2 years. He's like, you have to do this, you have to do this. I was like, nah, I'm good. And then my mother came up to me one day before the class started, and she said she had a dream that the whole world was laughing at me. And she didn't understand what it meant. She was like, why are people laughing at my daughter? I don't understand what's going on. What did she do? And then she said she prayed on it, and she was like, oh, my daughter's a comedian. So because of my mother, and I didn't talk about this for a long time because he used to piss comics off. When I took a stand-up class and my mother supported my choice to do stand-up. A lot of comics don't get that feedback from their family. And so I did it. And so May 12th will be my stand-up anniversary. And if someone can do math, that's what, 14, 15 years? Thank you, gracias. I went to school in Georgia, so I don't know what you want from me. But Gwinnett County, so, I did okay, but, I can't. The sixes and multiplication are funky. On the 12th, it'll be 14 years, but there were a lot of things from just like, I'm not sure. I moved to LA with suitcases. I moved here with suitcases. And now I'm moving, and it's like, so now you have to just go, I will be okay. But for me, the hardest part is hoping is I want to be a mother and have children, and I don't have that in my life. So the same hope that I applied to work, I now have to figure out to apply to this other thing. And that's even harder. Because I knew what to do to be successful in my career. I don't know how to hog tie some man So, and that's when I, the Lord gave me my ministry of No More Broke Dick. And so, yeah, the hardest part of any of this is hope, because you have to believe in you more than anybody else. And you have to love you more than anybody else.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
I have to admit, when it just came up on the screen, I almost teared up. And I was like, no, you have makeup on. Don't do it. Don't do it, because no one's going to bring you any tissue. Listen, I'm so excited for you. America's Next Drag Superstar! Congratulations, Sasha Colby. Now, tell me, you're in your winning era.
Definitely. Definitely.
And early I was at the Sasha Colby meet and greet.
Period.
And if you weren't watching the show and don't catch that, you need to get your life together. How does it feel?
Oh, my goodness. It's 2 weeks since I won. And it's, like, still, like, integrating in me. Like, I haven't realized that I actually won the big one. Like, I caught the biggest fish that you could. And,
it hasn't clicked yet.
Yeah, no, like, it'll be random. I'll be, like, on a plane. I'll be like, oh, I did it. Like, I won all of you.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Listen, it's like, someone asked me yesterday, they're like, so how does it feel to be hosting The Daily Show? And it didn't click for me until about 4 p.m. yesterday. Because I've been, like, moving, and I was like...
The time delay.
The time delay. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm hosting a Daily Show. So I know exactly how you feel, because when I got here, I was like, they're asking me all these questions. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm hosting a date.
Oh, I'm supposed to know the answer.
I'm supposed to know the answer to these questions. So it's like, listen, now I know the running joke we told y'all was the Sasha Colby meet and greet. Mm-hmm. Now, what's it like competing as a queen who was already legendary before she got on the show? Because you are a legend. And you have to appreciate her as a legend.
Goddess sees goddess. Greatness sees greatness.
Blessings sees blessings. Absolutely. So tell the children what it was like to be legendary and then be out here with the children.
Well, I mean, I am mother.
True.
So I deal with a lot of kids.
Right.
A lot of kids come in and out of the way. But I must say, the group of girls, the group of drag performers that we were with, that I got to be so blessed to compete with, were such amazing girls. Like, literally the best cast I could ever have dreamt to be with.
Okay.
But legend. They all knew, you know.
I mean, yeah.
That's why they all stood up for the meet and greet. I mean,
like, listen, because I remember when you walked in the room. I don't know if you've ever seen Shock and Awe before, but I'm talking about face cracked, jaws dropped. I literally saw somebody go.
And I think you can hear Anisha go, should we all go home now?
Should we all go home now? Because you walked in the room and it's like, oh, should we even try?
And I'm glad the delusion was hitting hard, and they did try.
I mean...
I want them good next to me, you know? I want to beat the best.
I mean, I can respect that, because Anitra was not playing when it came...
No, ma'am.
...to the lipstick, just free-willing.
No, ma'am.
If you did not see the free-willing moment, because Anitra was not playing with anybody. That's why the whole season I was just like, please, please... Please put Sasha and Anitra together. Television is not ready. They have to compete together.
Yes. I mean, after that Lollapalooza that we
did,
that was like a final two number right there.
It had
final
to happen.
Yeah.
It had to happen because the drag delusion was real.
I mean, it's real. We all suffered from it a little. Some more so than others.
Mother, this on the... You have to, like, now y'all know for real, like, I've watched the show. I was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, last season, mm-hmm. like, two seasons, and I was like, it has been my dream forever to be a judge on that show. So I'm waiting. Listen, they're going to put you on All Stars. They're going to.
And when All Stars, all winners.
All Stars, all winners. Now, because you are legendary, because you are mother, we need to know about the journey. So I do want to know that you're the first Hawaiian queen to take the crown.
Yes. Actually, I think I'm the first Hawaiian queen to compete.
Oh, that's
actually
true.
Actually made this show, yeah. So there's the been other Polynesian girls, but I'm the first representing Hawaii.
Praise God. So how has your Hawaiian heritage shaped you as a trans woman?
Oh, well, I think being any indigenous culture, there is the third sex. There is this level of non-binary that was always known and spoken about.
Right.
Before, you know,
colonization,
Christianity, all that. Mm-hmm. Love you, Christians.
Love you too.
Love yourselves. Anyway,
that's the real tea. That's the real tea.
How you gonna love anybody else? Gonna get an amen.
I mean, read the word. That's not the point. Y'all gonna be so
Anywho,
mad at me. That's
tangents,
not the point.
That's tangents.
Truly, tangents, tangentials.
What was the question?
We both got distracted. Because you were so pretty and this jacket is shiny and I like shiny things. I was asking you how has your Hawaiian heritage shaped you as a trans woman?
Well, like I was saying before, I interrupted myself. In any indigenous culture, there was space for trans and non-binary folk, and they were integral parts of our society in every indigenous culture you can find. So my transness is in my blood. It's in my DNA. It's what has been going on since before any man-made religion, any of these like standards that we hold ourselves to, any male woman, all of that. That's just a way to oppress, you know, a way to keep in line, a way to segregate everybody. And that's why I feel it's so important to be really into your culture, like to figure out your culture, because we are always programmed to believe what our parents need us to believe instead of what is actually going through our veins and our DNA and our blood.
Right. And then what the society at large wants you to believe, because if we go by mainstream society, then none of us would be able to dance.
No, ma'am. I definitely wouldn't have been able to show my tits on national television.
And we all needed that.
I mean,
we all needed
and
that.
And real tea, like, I was like, everyone saw like a great competition of Sasha Colby, but all my friends were like, they didn't even see Sasha Colby yet, naked, drunk, at brunch, you know? Rolling around half naked.
I think you showed us so much. I think only doctors would need to see any more of you.
Not a cough.
I mean, listen, if I close my eyes and they were like, okay, Sasha Colby is missing, I'm like, all right, don't you worry. It might have to identify by our titties, but I got you. Don't you worry. I
said, or, you know, identify by booty.
Hey, listen, cuz that thing is thangin'.
Mermaid.
And as someone who thang also be thangin', listen, thangin', recognize, thangin'. Yes! Now, as women of color, especially, we always have to worry about representation, right? And I know you want to be an example of a happy trans person in the media. Why is that important to you?
Well, all that media has been concerned with a lot of the time is telling the transition story, telling the trauma, telling the effect that it did on the family, but not showing why we go through all that and how happy, like being so adamant about making yourself feel comfortable in your own skin. That's the whole reason why we do the transition. It isn't to like hurt or harm or traumatize our families or anyone else. It is to be our true happy selves. And we are missing that a lot.
That makes sense.
I don't want it to get like misconstrued that I want to be a representation of only I'm a happy trans person.
Right.
There are so many happy, well-adjusted, loving trans people, but you only see us getting murdered and beaten.
Yes.
So to be able to normalize the fact that you probably have come into contact with 3 or 4 trans people every day and not even know it.
Right.
Because we are everywhere and we're not going anywhere.
Definitely understand that, because being, you know, a woman of color and a plus size woman of color in this industry, you spend a lot of time. It's like, oh, well, you're plus size, you must be unhappy. And it's like, no, I'm not. Also, I'm
no,
very
the
pretty.
The skinny girls are unhappy because they're hungry. The skinny girls are hungry, but
they're very hungry. Girl, I was at a diner at 3 a.m. and I saw this drunk white girl eating a salad, and I'm like, that's not what you want.
That's not what anyone wants.
You
at
want
3 a.m.
fries. You were drunk at 3 a.m. Why are you eating lettuce? Eat the fries, girl. You were in a tracksuit. You're in yoga pants. It's working. Eat the fries. Drunk in a salad, you finna be sick. Now, I have to ask this question. Because we know we have to ask this question. Now, you won Drag Race at a time where drag is being politicized for absolutely no reason. What do you think they're really trying to do?
Well, I mean, the legislation, I don't want to be, like, political and say, like, this, I mean, you
no,
know, the conservatives.
No, we can talk about the government, because, you know, they out here acting a donkey. Right.
Yeah. It's always about these white men kind of trying to control people's bodies.
Right.
So we're doing, you know, controlling women's reproductive rights.
Right.
Controlling our medicine, like a basic human right of giving trans people and, like, even, like, anyone good health care.
Right.
So it's always about controlling. And I always notice that these guys, they're not really killing a lot of, like, trans men. There's a lot of trans women being murdered.
Mm.
That's because these men objectify trans women as much as they objectify cis women.
Yes.
So once they objectify you and you're living your truth, mm-hmm. they get so mad.
Yes.
Because they're, one, jealous that they're not living their truth.
Yes.
And two, because it makes them question, why do I like this? Why, like, but why do you have to question that? Why does that even have to be a thing, you know? So, for all of them, just, I think they just want to be in drag. Or they probably went in drag,
yes.
and then they look awful. Santos.
So, listen, you hop in drag, you find out you're a booger, and you...
Bitter booger, honey.
Bitter booger.
Honey.
And you're like, you know
Ban
what?
Them all.
This free tress wig might not
so
be for me.
She couldn't find a mother.
She couldn't find a mother.
They said, no, lost cause.
Now...
Call these, CPS.
Listen, call CPS. Oh, my goodness. Nothing like calling CPS on a 45-year-old man. Like, not on his children, sir, on you. You need adult supervision.
This is true.
So with all these anti-drag bills that they're starting to pass places, has that affecting where you can work?
Yes. I'm a little nervous to go to Tennessee, and I do have a booking there in, like, a month or so.
You could be committing crime.
I mean, technically... Walking, like, setting foot down there, I'm breaking the law for some reason, you know? It's insane.
Even when you're in girl drag?
Well, like, so if you are, I'm not too sure exactly, but I've heard from my queen friends, like, Aura, she lives mm-hmm. in Tennessee, like, you can get in drag at the venue. But to be out, like, walking from your car to the venue, if you're in drag, you're breaking the law. So someone like me who doesn't, this is what it's made for, I can't get out of drag. I'm trans woman.
Because you're
so
a woman.
I'm going to be breaking the law, and that's what they want.
Oh, because they're trying to
say it's a roundabout way to get trans people controlled.
So they're trying to say you're in drag when you're really just
well, because
wearing
the
woman.
The legislation, I believe, like, the wording is, if you're in an article of clothing that is not your assigned birth article of clothing, that's how they can roundabout say that drag is illegal, and then the real thing is being trans is illegal.
Oh, that I didn't.
Y'all didn't know that?
Girl. They live in New York. They think they free.
I know. We live in a good left bubble.
Listen, I've had a lot of people try to con me and tell me that New York wasn't racist. Go outside. Anyway. Like, y'all know where all the Dominicans are? Okay, that's not racist anyway. If you know where every part of a group is, it's racist. I shouldn't be able to roll. Oh, I go across that street. That's where they at. But you know what? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Sasha Colby right now.
This is a segment of tangents.
I mean, listen, I am tangential. I'm a tangerine.
Ooh.
So.
I'm tangential.
Oh, they messed around and taught me vocabulary. Now, all right. Now, we have talked about all of the political thing.
Yes.
We have talked about the experiences. Yes. But what I do have is one final question for you, Mother. If I was in the family, what would my drag name be?
Oh, I mean, Dulce's already a sickening drag name.
I hear you!
And Dulce Colby sounds really nice.
Dulce, I'm a Colby?
Dulce Colby. Oh, I just gave birth again. Somebody clean up this water just broke, honey.
Listen, all the water done broke. Listen, Listen, somebody get this placenta wrapped up. I'm ready!
Colby, baby.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.